Blog Talk Radio.
Waking up to smells of burnt rubber, smoldering campfire, and barbecue sauce. I was there. Cheering on the drivers you love and booing the ones you don't, while watching them battle the baddest track in NASCAR. You can bet I was there. Escape reality for a weekend at Talladega.
The chase for the Sprint Cup returns October 23rd through 25th. Call 1-877-GO-2-DEGA for tickets. This is more than a race. This is Talladega.
Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Hey, this is Grant Enfinger, driver of the Beasley Allen Alamo Rental Car, number 23 Chevrolet, and you're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim Despain.
Good evening, Digga Nation. I'm your host, Tim Despain, live here in Talladega. Stephen Wilson has the night off to join me tonight and co-host with me, my good friend from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen, Mr. Todd Bigby. He should be on shortly. And just to let everybody know, the guests we have tonight, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have from Blue Autistic and Go Green Racing, Mr. Brian Huffstickle. He's going to talk about their first annual Autism Awareness Day presented by Cabela's of Fort Mill and Go Green Racing in Mooresville, North Carolina. Big deal out there. We got a lot to talk about the race weekend, this past weekend, for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, and your Xfinity Series. All three major divisions was a Chicagoland. And coming up, we have a late-minute guest. I'm sorry, let me look here at my notes. At 7:45, coming on with Brian Huffstickle, we have driver of the number 50, Landwerk Chevy, and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series for Make Motorsports, Mr. Ryan Ellis, coming on. And at the top of the hour, we have driver of the number 15, Engine Parts Plus Chevrolet, and the NASCAR Xfinity Series for Rick Ware Racing, Mr. Jim Weller, and also his crew chief, Jason Miller. At this time, I want to bring on Todd Bisbee and get Todd in here, and we're going to get Reverend Joe going and get this party started. Come on in the house, Todd. How you doing, bud?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I guess you heard there, we got that last-minute guest coming on. We've got Ryan Ellis, driver for Make Motorsports and NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. That's the last-minute thing. I hadn't had time to promote it. Maybe Suzanne can promote it. But, Todd, if you can, stand right there on the side, and I want to bring on my good friend, Reverend of the show, from out there in Paris, California, Mr. Reverend Joe. Reverend, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing good, doing good. Had to trying to get some little last-minute stuff out. You probably heard we got a last-minute guest coming on, but hadn't had time to promote it, but... we're here. God is good.
It's all good. Sound like a sure mouthful of you trying to get all that out.
I know. I'm trying to
get the best. I thought we were going to have to get you some oxygen or something.
Thanks, brother. And I don't know if Megan's going to be able to call in. Suzanne got a text from Megan. I don't know if she's going to be able to make it. But Reverend Joe, you got the floor, bud. Let's get everything cranked up.
Yeah, let's get this party started. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to live in such a great country, place where we can have fun, go racing, do the things we love, and have the freedom to do so. So right off the bat, we want to ask your blessings, Lord, upon all our soldiers, everyone involved with the military, their families, the people that sit home and wait for them, and the people that are concerned about them every day. We lift all of them up before you, Lord. We ask you to protect them all. We also lift up our government to you and ask you to protect our government, watch over it, help it to make the right decisions, and help us all to head in the right direction. We also want to ask you to please protect all of our racers, all those involved with auto racing, all those around auto racing, and all our fans. Give them a great weekend. I thank you for the fact that we had a couple of bad wrecks at our local racetrack, and both of those two folks that got hurt are both doing well. Thank you for that, Lord. And we ask your protection over all of auto racing. And we thank you for the fact that without Jesus Christ, we'd have no hope. And we thank you for that hope. And we thank you in Jesus' name for it. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff. Reverend Joe, great invocation. Now, I understand, I think we're coming up on, you're going to the NASCAR Temporal Truck Series race in Vegas, isn't that next week, Reverend?
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, that's next weekend, not this weekend, the following weekend. Be heading
okay.
out there for that event, and we'll bring you back a good report on all that happened and everything that went on. So,
okay.
Looking forward to that.
Okay, and like we had talked earlier, you know, we're going to let you be the you're going to be a guest that night and talk about everything that went on out there in Vegas. But Reverend Joe, you want to let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website?
Yes, sir. They can follow me on Facebook at Rev dot, which is Bubbico on Facebook. They can look for me at On Track with Jesus. .org is our website, and also they can email me at ontrackwithjesus@aol.com, and also the phone number is 951-232-7630. If you have concerns, questions, anything, please give me a holler. Also, as most people are starting to notice, and I'm hearing from a lot of them, that I post twice a day. Scripture as we go through the Bible together. I post it in your page also. And anything that's in there or that I post, if you have any questions at all, call me, email me, whatever. Be glad to help you understand it, go through it together. If I don't have the answer, I'll get it for you and get right back to you. And also, I thank you, Tim, for having me as part of your show. We enjoy it greatly.
Reverend Joe, we appreciate you very much. Thank you for all that you do. And just like Reverend Joe said, if y'all have a question about any scripture, just give him a holler. He can walk through it and explain it to you just like our preacher does here at Limbaugh Chapel, Mr. Brother Billy. He'll read the scripture, and then he'll put it in sort of layman terms where you can understand it. And I'm pretty sure, Reverend, you'd be glad to do that for everybody.
Absolutely, because understanding is the root of all faith. And we got to understand what we believe.
Yes, sir. Amen, Reverend. And Reverend, thank you again for being a great friend, and thank you again for being our Reverend on the show. And if you want me to put you in mute where you can listen, I'm gonna bring Todd on here. We're gonna start talking and stuff. Or if you want to go, but that's up to you, bud. We appreciate you.
I've got some things I've got to get done here, and I appreciate that very much. But we will talk some more next week. God bless you guys, Todd. Have a great show, both of you. Enjoy it. And sounds like I have a pretty full schedule after the first 15, 20 minutes. So don't take a deep breath.
Thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Reverend
we
You're
I'm
welcome,
sorry.
Both of you.
All right. See you, bud. Take care out there, Reverend.
All righty. God bless you guys.
God bless you, too. Okay, there was a good friend, Reverend Joe, from out there in Parrish, California. Todd, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be my co-host. And, uh-oh, I've got Megan Thomas popped up here. Let's, Todd, before we get going, I know we got a lot to go before the bottom of the hour, but Megan's done popped up. Let's bring ABC 3340, meteorologist, I nicknamed her Mother Nature, Megan Thomas, into the pit stop. Tim Despain and now Todd Bigby, since Stephen has a night off. Let's get the weather forecast for Loudoun, New Hampshire.
Let's get ready to rumble!
How you doing tonight, Mother Nature?
I am doing good. So sorry, I'm calling from a different phone. Mine's about to die, and I'm outside the movie theater.
Yeah, Suzanne told me that your phone was about to die, but go ahead, Megan. You got the floor. I know you're at the movies.
All right.
We'll let you get our weather forecast for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, NASCAR Camp World Trick Series at Loudoun, New Hampshire this weekend.
All right, if you're headed up there on Saturday, it'll be sunny with the high near 70. Saturday night looks great, but it's going to be chilly. Can you believe it? Temperatures in the 40s up there. On Sunday, plenty of sunshine, high near 71. And Sunday night, again, 49 degrees. So it's going to be pretty chilly up there, but, hey, we don't hate it. And sunshine will be around.
Well, it's just like, you know, me and Rufus T. Radbury over at 92.7 FM, we like this cool weather, Megan.
Me too. It's wonderful. Well, I'm ready for fall. Fall starts tomorrow officially here, and we need some cooler air on the way.
I did not know that. Thank you for bringing that out there, Megan.
Yeah.
And like I'm sorry, Megan, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, fall
okay.
Starts tomorrow, so hopefully cooler air will be here shortly.
Okay, awesome. You want to throw out, for all of our local listeners here in Central Alabama, what we have
yeah.
to look forward to? I know we had a little shower here at Coosa Valley Electric this afternoon right when I was coming in the office. It's a pretty good downpour.
Yes, I mean, most of the day has been not too bad here in Birmingham. I don't, you know, today's my Sunday, so I don't really I don't really pay attention too much on my off days that much. So there's been a few isolated showers. We had about a 10%. It was mostly confined to East Alabama. But here in Birmingham was great. It's been a very pretty day. It's been rather hot outside, actually.
Yes, it had, because I had to go out and do some work in some of our substations today, and I got a little warm. Megan, yeah, go ahead. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, everything, which I'm sure everybody knows that you're the weekend meteorologist at ABC 33. Excuse me, ABC 33.4. But let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media.
You can follow me at Meteorologist Megan Thomas on Facebook and MegTom_WX on Twitter.
Sounds good, Megan. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule, especially being at the movie theater. We'll let you get back in there and watch whatever you're watching.
I know. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Megan. We'll talk to you next week, Mother Nature.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. See you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Okay, Todd. Let's get down to business. We got 15 minutes to go through all this stuff. Like you heard earlier, we got a big show tonight. Got Brian Huffstick on, and we got two drivers. We got a crew chief coming on also. So we're gonna really run. Probably gonna run a full 2 hours. But let me get it started, Todd. I want to go over Chicagoland Speedway, the 7th annual American Ethanol E15 225 from the NASCAR Camp and World Truck Series. The race winner was John Hunter Nemechek. Won the 7th annual. Well, I done said that. His first victory in 23 NASCAR Camp World Truck Series races. This is his first victory in fifth top 10 finish in 2015. Nemechek is a current member of the NASCAR Next Class, a program designed to spotlight up-and-coming drivers. At 18 years, 3 months, and 8 days, Nemechek is the fourth youngest winner in the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series history. Only Cole Custer, Eric Jones, and Chase Elliott were younger when they won. Tyler Reddick finished second, posted his second top 10 finish in two races at Chicagoland Speedway. It is his 13th top 10 finish in 2015. Timothy Peters finished third, posted his third top 10 finish in 7 races at Chicagoland Speedway. Eric Jones leads the points standings by 10 points over Tyler Reddick. You have any thoughts on that before I play the Media Center interview, Todd?
I love watching these young kids coming up and getting these wins.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, you know, that was real big for Joe, and you'll get to hear him in the media center from up there at Chicagoland. So let's see what John Hunter Nemechek and Joe Nemechek and crew chief Jerry Kennan had to say in the media center at Chicagoland Speedway.
All right, if I could once again have everybody's attention, we are now joined by the winning team today, driver of the number 8 Chevrolet, John Hunter Nemechek, his crew chief, Jerry Kennan, and truck owner, Joe Nemechek. First off, congratulations, you guys. John Hunter, talk a little bit about coming out here, getting your first National Series win. What was that feeling like, especially in a race that involves so much strategy and chaos down the stretch?
Yeah, it's definitely an amazing feeling. Say, I was a little bit frustrated with our crew chief, Jerry Kennan, on that last stop. He told me to pit, and we had to fix the left side Romeo window, and I really didn't want to go to the back because track position was key and everything, but we got to top off there, coming to one to go, and he kept telling me to save fuel that last run, and that's what we ended up doing, and I ran out coming out of turn 4, so it's definitely a great strategy that he had worked up in his mind, and I should know never to doubt him.
And John Hunter, you're a member of the NASCAR Next program. What has your inclusion in that program been like, and to be part of that program and come out here and get your first career win?
It's definitely an honor to be selected for the NASCAR Next program. Say, there's only a select few or a handful of drivers that get picked for that NASCAR Next program. So can't thank NASCAR for picking me for that program. It's definitely been a fun opportunity to be able to go to all these different events and get different media training and the outlook on what is to come in my future and also showcase what I've done in my past.
Jerry, we just heard John Hunter's side of it. Like to get your take. Obviously, a lot of strategy involved. How much communication was there between you two down the stretch, and you know, how close were you guys to sticking to the script that you had coming in, or completely tossing it away at the end and going for the win?
Well, we kind of tossed it out the window. We had to come in and fix the Romeo window because we were going to be short. And then we topped off. We were four laps short. I didn't tell him that. I just told him to save. You know, it got to 10 to go, and I said, just slow down, just save. And then he didn't say anything back, and I was like, he might not know how to save. So he finally, I kept telling him to slow down even more, so it all worked out, you know, like we ran out. I figured we were going to run, had 8 tenths, we were going to run out, and we did, coming off the corner, so it all worked out.
Joe, for you, what's it like to be here, watch your son get his first National Series win for a team that you've been such an integral part of?
Well, first thing I have to say is he beat me to something that I haven't accomplished yet. So he's won his first truck race. I haven't been able to win a truck race yet, and this is just first of many more to come. It means a lot to me to see. He's such a talented driver, and I believe I've worked with a lot of drivers that have got their start. Back, you know, like now in the Xfinity Series, and then have moved up the ladder. And for what we've had to work with through our late model program and our truck program, he's accomplished a lot. And I'm so proud of him because we have such a small group of guys on a very, very limited budget, and we were able to pull off a win today. And it's not the first time. I mean, I thought that we should have won a couple of these things. I mean, we've been right there. And the one thing that I do give John Hunter credit for is he has the want to, as we call it. And the want to is such a big part of this sport. It's determination, it's focus, and he knows what he wants. And that's so hard. You don't see that a lot in the sport anymore. And this is a guy that tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, he's going to be out at our shop. He's got to get out there and start working on his Loudon truck, and he'll be there. And that's just the way he is. He wants to win. And the determination for that is cool, and that's what drives the small amount of guys that we have. And I can't thank enough for Jerry Kennan, my partner in all this stuff here, Sid and Donna Malden that own the SWM company, our Skull and Crossbones people that took an interest in John Hunter a couple years ago, and without them, we wouldn't be sitting here. So just a lot of small groups of people that have gotten us to this point, and we're looking to the future. We have some good things planned for next year. We're just trying to figure out how to get through this year right now. It's tough when you show up with a truck that doesn't have anything on it every week at a racetrack, and we're running up front, and now we've won in races, so it's good.
The biggest thank you has to go out to Dad here. He has everything invested in me, and he believes in me. So without him, none of this would be possible, and I wouldn't be here today.
Todd, any thoughts on John Hunter Nemechek winning his first NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race up at Chicago Plant?
Yeah, I mean, the kid really tries hard, and he really fights hard, and he plays fair. And I watched him even in person at a race at Dover, and I'm very proud of him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he's coming up through that NASCAR Next program, and, you know, Stephen Wilson talks a lot about that, and that's a big deal there, you know, NASCAR putting all that on, trying to help the young and upcoming drivers also, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the amount of stuff that NASCAR does that people don't realize, you know, really helps these young men work their way up to become pro drivers.
Yeah, exactly, Todd. I will definitely agree. And if I can, Todd, you want me to go on with the NASCAR Xfinity Series?
Have at it, bud.
All right, bud, I got you. The NASCAR Xfinity Series was at Chicagoland Speedway also for the 15th annual Fury 7 300. Kyle Busch won the 15th annual Fury 7 300 in second record extending 74th victory in 305 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. My goodness. This is his fourth victory and eighth top 10 finish in 2015. This is his fourth victory and eighth top 10 finish in 12 races at Chicagoland Speedway. Busch completed a Chicagoland Speedway NASCAR Xfinity Series NASCAR Sprint Cup Series weekend sweep in 2008. Matt Kenseth finished second, posted his sixth top 10 finish in nine races at Chicagoland Speedway. It is his fourth top 10 finish in 2015. Darrell Wallace Jr. finished third, posted a career best finish in his second top 10 finish in two races at Chicagoland Speedway. His previous best finish was fifth twice. Chris Buescher leads the point standings by 25 points over Ty Dillon. Todd, let's see what Kyle Busch and crew chief Chris Gayle had to say in the media center at Chicagoland Speedway.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention once again and joining us here in the Chicagoland Speedway Media Center, the winner of the Furious 7 300, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 54 Monster Energy Toyota, and he is also joined by his crew chief on the 54 crew, Chris Gayle. First, Kyle, your fourth Xfinity victory, eighth top 10 finish this season, winding up in victory lanes, becoming something of a habit for you, but tonight it was a little more difficult trying to fend off that 20 down the stretch. Just talk a little bit about the battle you guys had down those last few laps and, you know, what you were able to do to overcome a late push from Matt.
Yeah, when we all came and got tires there with about 60 to go, obviously we weren't clear to go to the end on fuel, so when we came down to just top off our fuel only, trying to save that last set in case there was something that, you know, you got to restart around 20 to go or so, but that never came. So on that long run there, that last run of the race, Kenseth got away from me a little bit. He was really fast, but, you know, I just started trying to move around and try to find something. I went middle, I went low, I went high, and finally up high was what worked best for me and my Monster Energy Camry. So was able to get some momentum rolling around the top and found some speed up there, so was able to run Kenseth down. He had some trouble in some lap traffic a couple times, and we were able to make the move and get by him, and once we got by him, I gapped him by about a second and thought, okay, well, we got this. It's all right. I can breathe now, you know, and then all of a sudden there with about 10 to go, he starts pushing again and starts coming back to me. So, you know, we were trying to save a little bit of fuel just to make sure we could make it to the end for as long as that long run was and for as fast as we were going with the amount of throttle on time we had around the top was pretty crazy. So, you know, all in all, great race, a lot of fun racing Matt there. We battled hard side by side and racing on the front stretch, back stretch, and you know, we weren't given much room. It didn't seem so. You know, it was a battle to the end, especially with Matt there with coming to one to go. You know, through three and four, he made a bold move and tried to do that slide job, and just didn't quite work. But you know, it was fun to see and race back and forth like that. Hopefully, it was a good show.
And Chris, Kyle touched on it a little bit. We saw it this morning in the truck race. We saw it again here tonight, how important that fuel strategy is and the decision one way or another down the stretch to come in and get a little more. Just talk a little bit about your thought process and what the communication was like.
Yeah, it was a pretty easy call there when I think we had five green flag laps on our tires, so nobody was going to use that last set of tires, but everybody knew it could go green, so you're going to have to come in and top off. So we did that, and I probably almost sent him a little too early. It was right there. We thought we were good, and I thought we were good on fuel to the end. But he started running those lap times up top, and they were so fast, and you knew he had so much on throttle time that, you know, once we got to like a second and a half gap, I was like, okay, let's just maintain, do what we can to save fuel. Last thing you want to do is be leading the thing by a second and a half and run him out of fuel when you could have saved some. So that's all we were trying to do was just save that a little bit towards the end in case we were using more fuel than we expected.
And, Kyle, you have completed the Xfinity Series and Sprint Cup Series sweep here at Chicagoland Speedway once before in 2008. It'll be a different car tomorrow, different track conditions, but is there anything that you can take from tonight and carry over to help you accomplish that again?
Yeah, you try to take what we learned today from our Xfinity Series car in practice to what it did in the race and try to, you know, do some of the same adjustments or better adjustments, you know, for the Cup car for in the race. We learned some things on how the car adjusted throughout the race today with the adjustments Gayle made. They were really good for me. And each time we kept continuing to get better and better. So there towards the end of the race, car was fast and, you know, just had to move around. Sometimes, you know, your car's only as fast as you can make it go in a particular groove. And, you know, like like Kentucky, just never gave up, kind of found something, went to it, and made it work for me. So, hopefully we can do that again tomorrow.
Todd has a lot of people that don't like Kyle Busch. I mean, you know, he had that bad wreck at Daytona that sent him back, and NASCAR gave him a mug, and he made it into the chase. You know, which I know we're not talking NASCAR, the Sprint Cup stuff right now. But Kyle Busch is one heck of a driver, bud. Would you agree?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I heard about the Xfinity race that I had missed because I was at my best friend's wedding. And I heard that Kyle and Matt both was going back and forth, and Kyle finally just made that last bold move at the end, which got him the win.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Todd. I mean, it was one heck of a race up there at Chicagoland Speedway. Do you have any thoughts or any comments, Todd? I don't want to put you on the spot on anything that they mentioned in the Kyle Busch or either Chris Gayle there in the media center at Chicagoland.
No, they made the right calls. I mean, you and I both know, yes, there are people that hate Kyle. There are people that love Kyle. I'm one. I like Kyle. He's one heck of a driver. Even with a bad car, the man can still drive it. So I give Kyle all the praise for it. I mean, he can drive.
Yeah, you got that right, bud. He can drive a hell out of a damn race car. I hate to say that out there, but yeah. And, Todd, we're coming up here on the bottom of the hour. I'm going to try to get some of this Cup stuff in before we have our first guest come on. But if I can, I'm going to go ahead. Race number 27 for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. The first round of the Chase. The 15th annual MyAFibRisk.com 400 at Chicagoland Speedway, Juliet, Illinois. Denny Hamlin won the MyAFibRisk.com 400, his 26th career NASCAR Sprint Cup Series victory. Prior to the start of the race, the following car dropped to the rear of the field for reason indicated. Number 34 had a transmission change. Failed to qualify was three cars, the number 21, the 95, and the 30. Time of the race was 2 hours, 51 minutes, and 30 seconds. Your average speed was 140.117 miles per hour. The margin of victory was 0.962 seconds. There were 6 caution flags for 28 laps. Lead changes, 17 among 10 drivers. And to read out your top 10, like I said, Denny Hamlin was first. Carl Edwards second. Kurt Busch third. Kurt Busch third. Ryan Newman fourth. Matt Kenseth, Joe Logano, Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, and Eric Almirola had a great run there at Chicagoland. He finished 10th. So let's see what everybody had to say. Let's see what your race winner, Denny Hamlin, had to say in the media center at Chicagoland Speedway.
All right, if I could have everyone's attention once again, joining us now in the media center, Chicagoland Speedway, the race winner of the MyAFibRisk.com 400, Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 FedEx Ground Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. Denny, you come here this weekend. Friday's qualifying session gets rained out. You have to start this race near the back and then the early spin. How good does it feel to come out on the other side of all that in victory lane here today, knowing that you're secured a spot in the next round of the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup?
Well, it feels great, obviously. I mean, this is a great day for us. We obviously came back from adversity and did a lot of great things throughout the day, with the exception of lap two. And I tell you, it's just amazing that we were able to come back the way we were and do the things that we were able to do. So I knew we had a really fast car. But, I didn't think starting on in the second row with old tires we were going to have a chance like we were. But the opportunity came in turn one to make a move, and we capitalized, and our car took off.
All right, we'll go right ahead, open it up to questions for Denny. If you have one, please raise your hand. We'll get you a mic, state your name and affiliation. We'll start right here in the front with Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, SBNation.com. You look at this race, and Chicago became the chase opener. The guys who historically won this race have done very well in the championship and have gone on in a couple instances to win the championship. That has to give you some confidence.
Yeah. Whose bracket did I break today? Raise your hand. Come on. If you had us going out in the first round. Anybody? Don't let me find that out. I'll call you out. But it is, I mean, Yeah, I've been telling people, I mean, look at our finishes going into the chase. I mean, we've been strong. This is no – everyone else gets the headlines, but we have been chipping away at some really good finishes here lately and doing a lot of great things. And, you know, our Toyotas have been really fast, and Chugibs Racing has given us some really good cars here lately. So this is no exception, and obviously we just were very fortunate with the late race restart, and we were able to capitalize on it. I honestly didn't like our chances when I saw that two cars had stayed out versus one, but we made the best of the situation. So I think we can make a run. I mean, I've told everyone, and these chase tracks set up better for nobody than it does for me as the chase goes on. So I think the next round is the most challenging for us personally. You just get us to that final eight round, and I'm pretty confident we'll be at Homestead with a chance.
All right, we'll stay on the front left with Tom.
Hey, Danny, congratulations. Tom Jensen, FoxSports.com. Have you ever had a race that started so badly that ended so well?
Close. I mean, my very first win, I blew a tire, spun out. We didn't go a lap down, or nearly two, for that matter. You know, I thought we were still going to be fine, and so I chose not to go fast, and I knew we're making a decision to go a lap down by making sure we preserved the car when I spun out. But I thought we'd have a caution in 10, 15 laps. I didn't imagine it going another 100 and putting so many cars one lap down. So that was a challenge for us, but we stayed really, really calm. So I was very, I don't know what it was, but just felt calm all day, even though we were in a really bad position up until 90 to go. So I think it's just that calmness allows you to make better decisions, and we made great decisions at the end of the day.
All right, back left to Stan, and then we'll stick right here in the left middle.
Okay, Denny, Stan Creekmore with RPMTonight.com. Did you come into this race extremely confident, and was there anything during practice or anything that just made you go to sleep last night and say, you know what, I could see and feel the checker glide?
I knew we had a top five car in practice. Not a lot of people saw that, but I knew we did. And we made some good adjustments. But my car was actually, we went through, when we blew a tire, whatever happened with my brakes, it really messed up my brakes. And I think I hurt the splitter as well when I crossed over the apron to get back on the racetrack right there on TV. So my car actually wasn't quite as good after we spun as it was before, but, I mean, my car was really fast, and I just knew with the shot we had a chance, and just got a great restart. That's all we had.
All right, we'll stay in that same area.
And Todd, any thoughts there on Denny Hamlin? He won the first round of the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup there at Chicagoland Speedway. And also, he messed up my grid because I had my chase grid picked for the number two to go in first. Any thoughts there before we bring our guest on the show, Bud? You got the floor.
For Denny getting the win, I'm happy that he got the win, you know, knowing his medical condition. So it's good on the show that even with his condition, he still has the willpower to pull a win.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And to some of our listeners that do not know, Denny Hamlin was playing basketball a couple of weeks ago, and he tore his ACL in his right leg, and he's going to tough it out through the season, and I think that means a lot. He's got some grit behind him, but.
Yeah, that's willpower.
Yeah, exactly. And at this time, I want to bring our guest on, our first guest at the bottom of the hour, CEO of Blue Autistic and Public Relations Director for Go Green Racing and Make Motorsports, my good friend from, I don't know where he's from. I met him, but anyway, sorry about that, Brian. Mr. Brian Huffstickle into the pit stop with Tennis Payne and Todd Bixby.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Brian, how you doing, that, bud? Sorry about that. Sort of had a little tongue-tied there thing. Yo, what's going on, bud?
Not a lot. You're fine, man. You're fine. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. And, Brian, I want to introduce you. You know, we had talked earlier on the phone. You know, you're big in this Blue Autistic. You know, you're CEO with that. Y'all got that big deal going on up there at Fort Mill, South Carolina. I think it's next Friday, if I'm correct, October 2nd, right?
No, it's actually Saturday, October the 3rd at Cabela's in Fort Mill, South Carolina. No, you're
sorry,
fine.
You know how these rednecks in Alabama get. But anyway, Brian, I want to throw you over to my good friend Todd Bigsby. He come on to co-host tonight since Stephen Wilson heads the night off for Thruway Digest. His home track is Watkins Glen, upstate New York, and he does a lot with autism also. And, gentlemen, I'm going to let y'all talk for a second, and I need to make a pit stop if you know what I understand. I'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Good. How are you, Brian?
Doing well. Excited to be on tonight.
I'm glad, we got you on. I want to ask you a little bit about what you're doing for the autism.
Yes, so basically, and if you don't mind me kind of giving you a little bit of a history, both of my boys who are 7 and 9 are autistic. And growing up, there just wasn't a lot of resources for parents as far as, autism goes, not in our area. So as we found these resources over the years, we kept wondering, what other parents are out there that are doing or having the same struggles that we're having, finding the medical attention and the resources to kind of improve our children's everyday lives and to deal with this problem, which is really a growing epidemic. So that led us in 2014 to found Blue Autistic. And basically our primary number one goal is just to help those parents find and locate resources when dealing with autism and dealing with the various levels of autism as far as throughout the spectrum goes. It's been a challenge for us, and we just want to kind of ease that pain for those parents who are out there fighting the same battle that we fight every day.
I drive my vehicle for opening weekend at Watkins Glen, $25 for 3 laps, and the money goes towards autism and some other charities. And I do know some other kids that do have it. And I also, in my back window of my car, I have a Racing for Autism, a dirt car that is sponsored for autism. So I'm really been getting more and more into it. And here in New York, I've been trying to find ways of bringing more and more awareness of it all.
And that's the area that we have worked in direction of. That's one thing I can really say that's great about Archie and Mason over at Go Green Racing. They allowed me to come in, be a part of the family, be a part of the team, and promote my cause, which is the autism awareness. We're working now to get everything on a website up and going to where if you live in New York and you need resources, we can point you in the right direction of not only local charities, but local medical facilities that will assist you in dealing with, whatever the autistic need for that particular child is. So we're growing. It's taking a little bit of time because this project is a really, really large project. And, just over time, as we grow, we're going to help these parents grow, and we're going to help them to find, answers to their questions. To me, it's a passion, and I love it, and we're just not, we're not going to quit. We're going to make the pieces fit, basically.
Well, if there's anything I can do for you, I'd be more than honored to be able to help you out in any way possible.
Personally, first of all, I want to thank you for what you're doing to go out here and promote autism awareness as well, even through your sponsorship with the Dirt Track program. But to me personally, anything that I can do, all you have to do is ask. I would love to work with you guys on a more personal level, and let's really, really work within the state of New York to get those resources out to those parents, and we'll go from there. I definitely would like to get you my contact information, and over the next few weeks, we'll work on a game plan, and we'll get something started in your area.
Yeah, Tim and Susan do have all my information.
Okay.
You can connect up with those two, and I'd love to get connected up with you and see what we can get rolling.
Most definitely. Anyone that's listening that would like to be a part of this, I'd like to just ask them to go to Facebook, look up Blue Autistic on Facebook, like us, send us a message, and, you know, any help or assistance that we can be to them, you know, that's what we're there for. We're there 100% to meet those parents' needs and to help those parents in any way possible.
And I'm on Facebook, so you can look me up on there, and anything that you put up, you know, I'd be more than happy to share and promote around here for everything.
Definitely, most definitely. I don't know if everyone's listening is aware of the statistics, but, you know, 1 in 68 children are born autistic. That number is 1 in every 42 boys and 1 in 189 girls. And basically those numbers are growing. And right now there are around 3.5 million Americans that actually fall somewhere within the spectrum of autism in this country alone. Numbers are growing. We have to work together to help find some type of cure and help get these children the need, you know, get their needs met, whether it be medically, physically, emotionally. You know, it's just such a broad range that, you know, everyone has to step up and play a part in this. And, you know, at some point in time in the future, we're going to start receiving answers, and we're going to start taking, you know, taking advantage of technology to start putting an end to this problem.
And
yeah, and I'm sorry, Todd, go ahead. I'm back. Y'all keep going.
No, your big event you got coming up is your first annual event?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We approached Cabela's and asked Cabela's to come on board and be a part of Blue Autistic and to sponsor Blue Autistic, and they never hesitated. They were there from the start, from the minute we asked those guys, wonderful bunch of people. They're going to have on October the 3rd at the Cabela's in Fort Mill, South Carolina. We're ultimately going to have Cabela's vendors is coming in. Got some friends, Daryl Hodges and Blake Hodges from Lancaster, South Carolina, who are part of Team Wrecking Crew, who are a hunting outfit that's, you know, pretty much nationally known. Blake's a championship duck and geese caller. We're going to have those guys out. We're going to have Bradley Smokers, who just came on board as a sponsor with us. We're going to have them out. Just a wonderful day. A lot of events planned for not only autistic children, but, you know, other children as well. You know, I'd like to invite everybody out. I feel that it's a very worthwhile cause. This is not a fundraiser. It's free to everyone, even if they're sponsors and vendors that are listening to the show right now that would like to be a part of it. All they've got to do is contact me. There's no charge to absolutely anyone involved.
Oh, that's great, and I appreciate everything that you do.
Well, the way we're set up, I mean, we're absolutely funded out of our own pocket. Any money that I make, whether it be from racing or just my everyday life, that money goes towards promoting autism awareness. We don't accept donations. We will point you in the direction of a charity that does accept donations, but we're not set up that way because ultimately we're here to provide resources. We're not here to, you know, to raise money. Basically, I'm sorry, I got tongue-tied there, but, you know, basically we're set up to where we just provide those resources and, you know, we point them, you know, if someone's wanting to donate, we'll point them in the right direction. Towards a charity that will benefit the needs that they're wanting to meet.
Okay, Jim, I'm back. This is Tim. I missed a little bit of that stuff. Todd and Brian, I mean, you know, we thank y'all very much for, you know, everything that y'all do for autism. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, you're CEO of Blue Autistic, and Todd does his thing up there at Watts, because Glenn. And bring in our next guest. Thank you for setting this up, Brian. We've got driver of the number 50, Landworks Chevy and the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series for Make Motorsports, Mr. Brian Ellis. Let's bring Brian in and get him on the conversation, everything going on and what he had going on at Chicagoland Speedway this past weekend in NASCAR Camper World Truck Series.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Ryan,
hey
guys,
how's it going?
We're doing
good,
great.
How are you?
I'm Tim Ryan. Thanks for taking time to call in, and I want to thank Brian for getting in touch with you to call in too. You racing there in the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series there at Chicagoland Speedway. How'd everything go this past weekend, bud?
Last weekend wasn't really too much to write home about. Kind of an off week for our Make Motorsports team. We had a cool sponsor on the car, you know, with Landworks on there. It was a big weekend for the team, 100th start, but unfortunately things didn't go the way we wanted them to on track. My car broke pretty early, and Travis made it about halfway through before he lost an oil cooler. So not the weekend we wanted, but we're definitely going to try to build on it.
Yeah, I understand, Ryan. I was sitting here watching everything also from Dagan. But, yeah, I want to thank y'all, too, for at Make Motorsports and Brian for everything that y'all do for the lineman side of it, the Altec stuff. I was a lineman here. Well, I'm still got my lineman status. I work here at Coosa Valley Electric Co-op here in Talladega, and I sort of had a little bit of back surgery. So the company took care of me. But, yeah, I want to thank y'all for everything that y'all do for the lineman all the way around the country.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's a, you know, it's a close cause to everybody at Make Motorsports. They were sponsored by Driving for Lyman last year. And obviously I drove the Altec truck at Gateway Motorsports Park earlier in the year. And they're actually based out of Alabama as well. So it's pretty close to home for the whole Make Motorsports team. And they've been pretty involved in that industry since I've been involved with them.
Yeah. I've been back in the day, well, I don't want to tell my age, but yeah, back when I was out there in the crew doing line work before I'm pushing a pencil. Now, yeah, I've been in the Altec bucket a ton of times, and you're talking about a great bucket truck. Altec does a great job, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're number one. They're the biggest in the United States, as far as I know, and, you know, it's an honor to represent them. And we're hoping to build that relationship into something bigger next year. And it was a really good-looking truck, and it's pretty cool to represent such a nationwide brand like that, and we hope to do it again soon, hopefully at Talladega. That'd be pretty cool, right in their backyard.
There you go. Come on down. Suzanne and I will be in the media center here at Dega. Ryan, we got Brian sitting over here. Brian, you have anything for Ryan before we go to Ty?
Well, Ryan, thanks, man. Thanks for making me look good, for starters. I appreciate you coming on and being a part of the show tonight with me. You don't know how much easier you've made my life tonight.
Well, I'm glad. But, it's fun to be on the show with you guys.
Definitely. We've got a lot of stuff, you know, in the works. Really, I wish there was more I could touch base on, but there's definitely some stuff coming up with Ryan in the future, possibly even, you know, Cup starter too here coming up as well. So it's an exciting time. I really enjoy the opportunity that I'm getting to work with Ryan and Travis for that fact. But, you know, there's great things to come. Make Motorsports is a phenomenal organization, just tight-knit family. I can't think of not one bad thing to say about all those guys. Mark Beaver and Tracy Lowe and even Amanda, you know, they do a just stand-up job, especially in getting Ryan and Travis and, you know, equipment that they know is going to perform, even though, you know, every once in a while you do have a glitch and have a bad day.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small family-owned team based out of Shelby, North Carolina, which I live in North Carolina. I didn't even know Shelby existed. So it's a tiny little area, and it's pretty cool to be involved with a family team like that.
Definitely. Like I said, just a great group of people. They work hard week in and week out to really, you know, go out here and put on a show for the fans. I can't think of anyone else in the sport I would want to be associated with, you know, on the truck series side than those guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've done a lot for me this year and given me a job week to week. And, you know, I've been able to get on track pretty much every week this year, and that's something that I struggled to do last year for the first half of the season. It's hard as a driver when you don't have that sponsor week to week to find a stable job, but I've been lucky enough to find that in Make Motorsports and have a great teammate, Travis Quapple. As you guys know, I have a lot I can learn from him, and he's more than willing to help me out every week, so I can't ask anything more from him. But it's just really cool to be working with a past champion, that's for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, Travis is phenomenal. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, Brian, you go ahead. I was just going to go ahead.
Oh, definitely. Travis is a phenomenal guy. I mean, even as a friend, you couldn't ask for a better friend or you know, someone to be associated with when it comes to truck series racing. And for that fact, really in any division with Travis, he is, you know, just top of the line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's done it all. He's been around for as long as I've been alive. I hate to date him. I've been doing that for the last couple of races. He has all these stories about before I was even born. But it's cool. He's been everywhere. He's ran Cup. He's been at the top. He's kind of, you know, he's having fun with what he's doing now. And I think he's able to spend more time with his kids, and that's what he wants to do.
Definitely. And, you know, he's got his son racing now as well. And I think his son's doing pretty well from what I'm seeing. And it definitely frees him up and allows him that time to be able to go out and spend with your, you know, with his son. And that, you can't buy that kind of time. And you can't buy it back if you miss it. So, you know,
yeah, that's one thing people don't realize about him is he's one of the best family guys I've ever met. And we're sitting there, I'm talking about debriefing with my truck, and he'll be debriefing his kid's bandolero from last weekend. So he cares a lot. He cares probably more about that than he does anything else in this world.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And, Ryan, this is Tim again. Can you talk about, or is anything in Brookstone, or are you going to be in Dega this October for the NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series race?
Yeah,
Ryan, I'm going to let you catch that one.
Okay, yeah, I'll be there one way or another. I just don't know if I'll be driving the F2NY racing truck or if I'll be driving for Make Motorsports. It kind of, we figure it out week to week. And I have opportunities with both teams. So I guess I'll find out here in the coming weeks. I kind of literally play it week by week. I didn't know where I was going to be this week until today.
Yeah, I understand, Ryan. Awesome. Suzanne and I and Stephen Wilson, which he's not on tonight, from SpeedDigest.com. We're going to do a live show from the Media Center the Saturday before. Just want to throw that out there. We're going to have Russell Branham. We're going to have Johnny Hirsch, manager of the grounds. I don't know if Grant's going to be able to come on. I know I'm going to probably get that Tuesday night, which we have Will Kimmel also. But would you be interested in coming on when we do a live show from Dega that Saturday before the big race weekend here at Dega?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, great. I'll get with Brian and get all that set up, and you know, because we do a two-hour show. And coming up here on the top of the hour, I want to bring in Todd. Todd Bigsby, Brian, his track is upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen. Do you have any questions for Ryan Ellis, Todd?
Ryan, it was an honor to see you at the Glen.
I seen you too. Yeah, we ran into each other there a couple times.
Yeah, and I appreciate the hero card because I like the older stuff. So, you know, I've been working at trying to get one of your truck ones.
Me too. But
having your older one, I mean, really means a lot because, you know, when you become the big full-time star, I can say I got you when you were in it part-time. So, you know, thank you for spending the time with me, and it was enjoyable to be able to see you.
Oh, yeah, it was nice to meet you too, and thank you for obviously being a fan. And it's always good to spend time with fans, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. And sorry I didn't have a fresher card. It sounds nice to say that I gave you a throwback one, but I don't really have anything newer right now. So I know we got Bubba Burger, who's buying me some new hero cards here, so I'll definitely have to send one your way.
Almost definitely. Now, are you working your way to become full-time?
That's definitely the goal. It's hard. You know, it's not a very quantitative sport in terms of you don't really know if you're, I guess, gaining or losing year to year, and you don't really know what you need to do to keep moving forward. But I definitely think I'm closer to being full-time than I have been in the past, and this is really only my second full year, I'd say, in NASCAR. I've only done three or four races before last season. So I think I've been able to move up pretty quickly. And obviously I want to do a cup start in the near future, but ultimately I just want to be full-time and drive for the same team every week and leave my gear in the hauler and know where my home is.
Right. And again, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you very much.
And Ryan, this is Tim here again. Can you touch a little bit about on the truck there at Chicagoland this past weekend? Was the tires falling off, Bud, or was it holding on pretty good? You know, we had that rain and everything, all that going on. Can you touch a little bit about on how the track was and how your truck reacted to the track?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell tire drop off in the truck series just because they're almost nearly flat at a lot of tracks. Like, we don't hardly lift at a lot of the mile and a halves. So we're able to run flat out and no problem at all. But we didn't have too much of a drop off. And granted, we only ran probably 10 laps total. But I think we were just down on motor. We're about 400 RPMs down from where we should be. And, you know, at a mile and a half, that's about all that matters is just motor and body. So we're trying to get our program back together. And I think we got all the right pieces. We just got to keep working on it.
Yeah, sounds good, Bud. And correct me if I'm wrong, my mind's going crazy. There was a competition caution, correct?
Yep. Yeah, there was.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember when it was. I've lost my paperwork. But I understand. I mean, you know, a lot of our listeners don't know as far as a truck versus a car. I mean, you know, y'all were going into turn one there at Chicagoland. I'm talking about y'all was getting some yonder. As far as the pressure and the downforce on the right side of the tires was, could y'all tell any wear there, Bud?
In our truck, it seemed like the right front was going before anything else. We seemed to tighten up over a run. But the big difference between a car and a truck is actually not necessarily in the tire wear, but it's more just in how the air is affected when other people are around you. When in the truck, because there's a bigger hole punched in the air with just bigger greenhouse and all of that, it just affects the air a lot more when someone's on your right quarter panel or right behind you. You really lose the nose, or it gets really loose when you're alongside somebody. So that's the biggest difference. Other than that, it's very, very similar. You're just off throttle a little bit more in the Xfinity cars.
Okay. Sounds good. And Ryan and Brian, do y'all have to go or can y'all stay on? It's up to y'all. Whatever y'all want to do.
I'm good. It's up to you, Tim. I'm really good. Whatever you need me to do.
Ryan,
I should be okay for a little bit here. Yeah, I should
are you
be
good,
okay for
Ryan?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, I want to bring on, we've got my good friend, driver number 15, Engine Parts Plus Chevrolet, and that's great. Finishes for Rick Ware Racing, Mr. Jimmy Weller. Let's bring him, man. We'll just get a big group discussion going on about racing. How's that sound, y'all?
Hey, it works for me.
All right. My good friend, Jimmy Weller. Well, my button ain't working.
Let's get ready to rumble!
It finally worked. I must have a delay here. Jimmy, how you doing, Bud? You doing okay? Well,
back in Ohio for a couple of days, and it's really cooling off up here, so it's kind of nice.
Jimmy, can you hear me, Bud?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I got you. Sorry about that. Hey, I want to thank you for taking time out to come on the show. I know we've got your crew chief, Jason Miller, probably going to come on also. You're in the pit stop, Tim Spain, Todd Bigsby, and Brian Huffstepper from Go Green Racing and Blue Autistic, and we've got Ryan Ellis from the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series.
Okay. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Doing well.
We're doing great. And, Jimmy, want to talk a little bit about you finished you had a pretty good finish this past weekend at Chicagoland, didn't you, Bud? I don't want to throw it out there. You tell me, was it your best finish or not?
It tied our best finish in the Xfinity series. It's not bad. We started 31st and finished 26th. We started off not real good. We started off way too tight. Jason and them guys made a couple great calls that towards the end of the race, we were rolling pretty decent and, you know, matching times. Guys a lot further up in the field than we were, but we were just so far behind right then we couldn't make it up. But
We finished the race. We didn't put a mark on the car, so everybody was happy.
That's what I was going to say, Jimmy. You know, just like me and Will Kimmel talked, you know, Will raced his first race there with Brian and him up there at Kentucky for Go Green Racing. He finished the race. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, anytime you finish your race, that's a win in my book, right, Buck?
Yeah, man, exactly right. And, you know, as long as Bobby, you know, he was Bobby and Rick were happy, the car owners there, so it makes for a lot better ride home.
Yes, sir, definitely. And just to ask, before I forget, how's Mom and Dad and everybody doing? Everybody doing okay?
Doing well, yes, sir. They're actually listening on the computer right now, so yeah, they're doing well.
Awesome. Hello, Mom, Dad. Glad to meet y'all on this. And, okay, we got y'all. The phone lines have lit up. And, gentlemen, we're going to try not to step on. I mean, we're just going to talk. And as long as Brian and Ryan Ellis from Make Motorsports can stay on, I want to bring on your crew chief for the number 15, Engine Parts Plus Chevrolet, and NASCAR Xfinity Series per Rick Ware, Mr. Jason Miller.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Jason, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. And, Jason, just to let you know, the phone lines have lit up, and we got a big round table, so if anybody steps on anybody's toes, we'll just talk, and we'll see what happens.
Sounds good.
Okay. And, Ryan, do you know Jimmy Weller?
Yeah, I know each other very well.
Okay. We'll let y'all talk, and y'all just carry on for just a minute, and me and my co-host Todd Biggs, we'll step back on the side. We got Brian Huffstickler from Blue Autistic, his big event up there in Fort Mill, South Carolina, coming up next weekend. Y'all just talk, and we'll just have a great time, bud.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. That introduction they gave Jason when he came on, that's you know, bigger than anybody else. They're more excited when he gets on than any time anybody else ever sees him. So that was pretty good for him.
Yeah, they just don't know me.
But where are you guys going to be?
Hey, Ryan, how was your truck in Chicago?
Not so good. Not too good. I was, like, not lifting, and we were pretty far off the pace. So that wasn't good.
How do you feel about the bumps at Chicago? Were they hard to get over as much as it was for us?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we were all over the splitter quite a bit before, but once we got it all settled, it really upset the truck in just some crazy ways. It wasn't very predictable for sure.
Yeah, Jimmy was telling me kind of the same thing. You can kind of explain the bumps a little bit better than I could because you had a little bit better seat to ride in than I did.
Yeah, they talked about that one getting into one a little bit and like through two there. I didn't feel those ones didn't hurt us nearly as bad.
Four.
Yes, yeah, that one real big one. I mean, if you caught it wrong, it rattled your head back and forth a couple times.
Yeah, it's not quite as bad.
When you
pretty bad.
Say it again.
Wasn't quite as bad.
Yes. Now, when you moved up the racetrack, I was still catching, like, right, and I don't know, let's say, because the middle didn't seem as bad, but up towards the top, I was catching it again, and that kind of screwed with our car a little bit. Were you catching the same one? Like, did that bother you guys too?
Yeah, it seemed like you just had to hit it, like, at the right spot, but, I mean, moving around helped a little bit, but we pretty much stuck on the bottom with our truck. We weren't having a big enough drop off to really move around too much.
I gotcha. I kind of used that, like, when we were trying to run the bottom there, the sun, the way it was setting, you couldn't really see the center of three, so I was kind of using that bump. I ended up a little bit and I cut that across. Right when I hit the bump, I knew to kind of start going back up to the wall. You couldn't really, there wasn't a real good visual to it, but that's right when I knew I had to start releasing.
Yeah, that's not a very good, I was watching the onboard and it looked pretty sketchy coming off the corner and really not knowing where the wall is. It's hard for people that haven't driven one of these cars to really understand how little you can actually see, and you really have to ask the spotter how close you are to the wall, and that's a weird feeling.
No,
for sure.
It really was, and we were underneath that there. Eric McClure in the 24, we kind of raced side by side there for a few laps, and there was a point in the race where, like I said, you could see him when you go in the corner and you could see him when you come out. But in the center, I told Jason, our spotter, I can't see him at all. You got to tell me. You know, it was blank completely. So it was a weird feeling there.
There's certain tracks, just the way the sun sets. I think Texas is one that comes to mind for me, that when you come off of turn four, you can't see hardly anything. Hmm. Like, you don't have any idea where the exit is. So it's just an interesting aspect of each track that I think a lot of fans really don't get to see, and you really can't put into words.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right, because then, you know, that's right where we were, like, on there, we were able to finally see him again. It's right when you're coming off the corner, so you're starting to move up, you know, the car just automatically takes you there a little bit, and then it got awful tight. So.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you in the same truck now this weekend?
I'm actually doing the 15 this weekend, Xfinity.
Okay.
So.
Oh, okay. Right on.
What about you?
No, we're not doing anything. We didn't have anything set for this weekend. And then it's cool. My family, we've been trying to get a vacation out for, you know, take a long weekend, and finally going to get to do it this weekend. So just didn't have anything going on, so we're able to get out. So it'll be all right.
That'll be probably just a little bit more fun than sitting in Florida, Kentucky.
Well, it depends. Yeah. Mm.
You guys hear about drivers getting to do double duty. I get to do double duty a lot, too, because we do the 07 truck with Ray Bike Jr., and I get to do Jimmy also in a lot of companion races. So I'm running back and forth. So I don't know exactly how those guys feel, because they're sweating a lot more than I am, but it's pretty demanding to try to run back and forth and do both.
But I'm
it
sure,
would be
yeah, I can. I was gonna say, just like drivers, we get a little, you know, you have to kind of change your mindset when you head from one garage to the other. I'm pretty sure it's got to be a little bit different setting up a truck versus an Xfinity car.
Yeah, a little bit. Do you feel the difference in the way the car drives and the truck drives? Both of you guys have drove both. Which one do you think drives a little bit more evil than the other one?
Good, Ryan.
In traffic, I think the truck does, for sure.
You think you lose side force, more aero, you're more aero dependent?
Oh, absolutely. And like when someone's on your right rear quarter, it can really upset the balance of the car when someone comes around you. The Xfinity cars, you know, they depend on side force as well, but not nearly as much as the trucks. And a lot of the mile and a half that we go to with the trucks, we're flat out or just about flat out, and you're off the throttle a little bit more in the Xfinity cars. It's just, I think the Xfinity cars are just a little bit harder to drive by themselves because of that. You know, it's not just pointing the car where you want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of depends on the driver and the team, I guess.
I agree with
that. Well, Jimmy, you drove them both.
That's a good way to put it there. Yeah, no, that was a good way to put it. Like I said, the traffic in the truck is a lot. The truck moves around more. And, you know, like you said, side force gets taken off it so quick. But the cars, I think, and like he was saying there, they're a little bit harder to drive just in the fact that you're lifting, you're letting it roll and doing a couple other things where on the bigger tracks where the trucks are just kind of wide open. But once you get in around the traffic, you know, they kind of even back up real quick.
Absolutely.
And gentlemen, this is Tim. I am back. And Todd,
welcome back.
I want to thank y'all, gentlemen, for coming on. I just love doing this roundtable. I think that's what we're going to start doing everything. Just bring crew chiefs, drivers, everybody on and let them talk. Todd, do you have any questions for either Jimmy or Ryan or his crew chief, Jason Miller? Go ahead, bud.
For any of the drivers or the crew chief, are any of you planning on going to Martinsville?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, me too.
Mm.
Okay.
I'll be there watching.
Okay, well, I will be there cooking for a truck team.
What are you going to be cooking? I love to eat. I'll come see
you. I'm doing barbecue pulled pork, homemade macaroni salad, and a fruit platter for Saturday.
And I'm going to say, Todd, you better not be cooking no bologna or nothing now. We ain't going to be eating no bologna there.
Now, that wouldn't be right for a cook to cook bologna. That's not homemade. I have to cook homemade food. You know, I'm all about homemade food. You got to eat well when you're on the road. So I volunteer and I cook for any team that needs somebody to cook for them. So I'm there with a truck team and going to be making them so that they're going to enjoy their food.
I'm waiting on you to announce it. That way I know which team to show up with.
Well, let's see, Jimmy, I have you on Facebook. Ryan, I have you on Facebook. I will send you both a private message telling you who I will be with.
I'll be
perfect. Perfect.
He doesn't tell the crew chief because he knows the crew chief likes to eat, because you can look at the drivers. You got driver stature and you got crew chief stature, and we're usually a little bit bigger than the drivers.
And also,
bad. I love to eat.
And also the media too, y'all. Tim Spain in the media, yeah, I love to eat too. And I'm gonna tell you, when we was up at Darnton, that throwback 70 stuff, I'm telling you, that bunch up there, Chip Wild and everything, they done that throwback 70 stuff. And I'm telling you, when we was at the media center, they had roast. I know y'all might have been there. Roast beef and taters, and I mean, OMG. And we were sitting back there with Claire B and Nate Ryan from NBC Sports, and I kept telling them, I said, I'm going back and get me a second plate. And they just sort of looked at me, and I said, I'm media. I got to look like Steve Post.
I might need a career change, because I don't think I ate anything all day while I was there. I ran so much. I didn't get to slow down the entire time, so I might need to move over to the media side.
And, gentlemen, I know y'all's time is limited, but we got plenty of time to talk, and I want to thank y'all again for coming on and doing this roundtable deal. But I want to throw this out there, and I guess I can start with which Jimmy dropped here, so we're going to bring Jimmy back on also. I want to start with Jason, and I've never asked a question on our show. You know, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, they do their chase. They have a chase thing, you know, 16 drivers, 10 races and everything. Jason, do you think the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series should go to a chase format?
I think so, because I kind of like it. I think that NASCAR does a great job with all three divisions. And I think the chase just adds a little bit more character to it, and it adds a little bit more drama. Absolutely. I think sometimes, you know, throughout the season, you can be fourth or fifth in points, but you're so far out because maybe you had a bad run, or maybe you had a crash a couple times, but you come back and you win a couple races. And at the end of the season, you really don't have a chance because you had some bad luck. I think that it erases the bad luck and lets you start all over again to where that, you know, one or two races don't define your season.
Exactly. And, you know, I think we touched on it a little bit before y'all come on the show. You know, Kyle Busch, you know, had his accident there in Daytona, and NASCAR agreed to let him have, you know, what me and Stephen Wilson always talks about from SpeedwayDigest.com, a mulligan to get back in it. And I would definitely agree. I mean, you know, Kyle Busch can drive a hell out of a damn race car. You can't take nothing away from him. But, Ryan,
no.
Ellis, what do you think about this? Should we go to a chase format also in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series?
I actually kind of think a little bit differently, just because if you look at how many full-time truck drivers there are, it's pretty limited. I don't know how many, maybe 15. So there wouldn't be really anybody getting cut. And I think that it's very dependent on, I guess, just having the right guy in the truck. And I would hate to see the chase winner finish fifth or sixth out of, you know, behind some cup drivers. But if you did it right, it'd be kind of tough to get it done. But it would be really exciting to see.
Yes, I would definitely agree.
I'd like that, obviously.
Yeah, and you brought up a great point, Ryan, also. Yeah. Jimmy, what do you think? We've talked to Ryan Ellis there, and we talked to your crew chief, Jason Miller. Do you think the NASCAR Xfinity Series and Camper World Truck Series should go to a Chase format, just like the Cup Series does?
With the Camper World, with the Truck Series, there, Ryan had a good point. You know, with only so many drivers running the full time, with the Xfinity, granted, you have the truck, the Cup guys coming back into it. And at first, I'm gonna be honest, I wasn't a big fan of the Chase system at first, just because I thought, you know, it's a point standings and over the whole year, that's who the champion should be. But now that they've changed it around and done some different things, I really like it. I think NASCAR has made some good changes to it, and like Jay said, it makes it exciting. So, you know, with the way they're doing it now, with just the cover or the Xfinity regulars being, you know, getting the points, I think that'd be something cool to do. It's I think it'll add excitement to it, and you know, anything that keeps the fan more involved, you know, helps NASCAR out as well as it helps the drivers out and, you know, kind of get fans and, you know, getting people in the seats. So I think it'd be something cool to look at, and it'd be fun to try to get in, you know, get involved into it.
Exactly. I would definitely agree.
And it'd be cool to see people like Ryan Sieg in the Xfinity Series, people, you know, the guys that are able to pull those good weeks off compared to the Cup teams. Jeremy Clements is another good example. It'd be cool to see them compete for that type of championship, but it'd just definitely be hard, and they would have to have a pretty big format change to keep it so that not everybody makes it and it's not very predictable. Because right now you can kind of look at certain cars and certain teams and kind of predict plus or minus five spots really where they're going to end up every week. And so you just have to limit it to guys that are in the truck or car every week. And it would be really exciting, and you want to build personalities in those lower series because a lot of the times we're very dependent on having those cup names in there, which I would rather see. Us, you know, people cheering for Chase Elliott, and he became a big name because of the Xfinity Series. You know, he wasn't a cup driver racing in the Xfinity Series. We want to build personalities in the Xfinity Series and then take them back up, or Truck Series, same thing.
Exactly. And Todd, push your take on that, bud.
I agree with it, and also, you know, I see what Ryan's point too. So I do like the Chase format. And NASCAR has put a lot of thought and a lot of effort into it, and they're doing the right thing. So, yeah, I highly believe in this Chase because, like they're saying, you know, if it wasn't for that, these guys that run full time, it gives them a chance to work towards that championship. And at the end, you know, it goes to show that they can shine.
Exactly. And, you know, Jason brought up a very good point. I did not think about it, but, Jason, thank you for bringing it up. And Ryan Ellis also did, too, as far as the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of teams that really run the full-time season. And, you know, it's going to be hard to dictate that as far as getting everything going. But, anyway, gentlemen, if there's anybody that needs to go, just let me know, and we'll let you go.
Well, I'm okay.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on, but I got two little ones, and I don't get a whole lot of time to play dad, so I appreciate you guys having me on, man. This is a great radio show, and I wish you all the luck, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to probably hop off just because I missed a few phone calls as well, but like everybody's saying, just thank you very much for having us on. It's a lot of fun to talk with different personalities from around the racing world, so. Definitely would love to do it again.
Thank y'all very much. And thank y'all for everything y'all do for the sport. And we'll let y'all go. And I most definitely want to see y'all in Dega.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Hey, Ryan, I appreciate you too, man. I really do. I appreciate all your help, everything you work with me on. Thanks so much, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for helping us out. You know, teams can only survive with people like you.
Definitely. Hey, one quick thing, Ryan, that we're forgetting about here, too, if Tim doesn't mind, you're competing for an upcoming race by fan vote. Could you kind of touch on that real quick?
Yeah. It's a very interesting scenario. Obika Racing, owner of the 97 Xfinity car, did a nominating stage last week for any driver under 25 that held an Xfinity license. And luckily, I got nominated as one of the three drivers. With the most nominations, and now they're doing a fan vote that started today. If you go to the Vroom Brands webpage or their Facebook page, you can go on there and vote for one of three drivers. I'm the only male, so I got a little bit of a disadvantage. But I'm going to try to work as hard as I can, and it'd be a big opportunity for me to prove that, you know, I would really want to earn a seat with them full time next year, and that'd be pretty cool. So any vote is highly appreciated for sure.
And you got my endorsement too, Ryan.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That means a lot.
Ryan,
thank you again, bud. Brian, thank you very much for being a good friend. And anything you need, you and Ryan, y'all just holler at us. Jeffrey Earnhardt, if y'all need anything, you just holler at us, bud. We'll help you out where we can.
Definitely. And if you don't mind me throwing this in there real quick, we're excited to have Jeffrey going in the car. We got a great sponsor coming on board in Can-Am. We're real excited to have those guys with us. Very excited to have, you know, Tom and Teresa King with Team Parts and CorvetteParts.net as well to be a part of it, and Sean Morgan and Randy Bridwell and all the guys from, and ladies for that fact, from Beer Frost. Just really, really want to thank them sponsors, and, you know, Bradley Smokers and Cabela's as well. Just outstanding organizations, you know, well worth supporting, because those guys support us, you know, day in and day out. It's great organizations, and really proud to be a part of all that. And just, we're excited as to where the future is going. We really are.
Proud for you, Brian. And Jimmy, stay on, because Brian and Ryan have to go. Ryan, you want to thank your sponsors and everything, and let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, bud. You got the floor.
Yeah, just follow me at Ryan Ellis Racing. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and my Facebook page is just Ryan Ellis. But yeah, just thanks to Make Motorsports. I mean, I'm driving for Rick Ware this weekend, and I know Jimmy's going to enjoy the weekend off. So it's going to be pretty fun to be back behind the wheel of an Xfinity car. Kentucky's not one of my favorite tracks, but still always very cool to be back behind the wheel of an Xfinity car. They're a lot of fun, and I love working with the Rick Ware team. So please, if you can, give me a vote at that Vroom Brands thing. That could really go a long way for my career, so it'd be really cool to win that.
Awesome, bud. Jimmy,
thanks for having me on the show.
Sorry, Tim, I missed you.
I'm sorry. I think I outdrew everybody. Jimmy, you got any last thoughts from Ryan before we let him go?
No, man. Just good luck this weekend, buddy. Have fun. It's we've done some work with Rick, and you know, I know you have in the past too. So good guy to be with. So just enjoy it and good luck.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much, and enjoy the weekend off.
Yes, sir. And then I'll see you. We'll be at Charlotte for sure. So I'll see you back there.
Okay. See you then.
All right, Ryan, good luck, bud. Thanks again. And, Brian,
thanks,
good luck to you too, bud. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Tim.
On the flip. Yes, sir. Well, you're welcome. Right. Anytime y'all need something, just holler.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Appreciate everything you guys do for sport too.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Ryan, good luck this weekend, bud.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Ryan.
Okay, that was Ryan Ellis and Brian Huffstickler from I done a lot of paperwork. Jimmy Weller, okay. I am give up, but I didn't know we was going to have everything going on. Let's talk a little bit about what you got going on. We've got Todd Bigsby here, and your next race is Charlotte, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep, that'll be our next one. We'll run, we'll be in the 90, I believe, with Bobby Daughter there. So, yes, sir, with SS Greenlight.
Okay. And, Jimmy, do you have anything you want to throw out, or can you leak anything for next year? I don't want to put you on the spot. Can you throw anything out about next year?
As of right now, there's not a whole lot going on. We have the opportunity with a couple of teams, but it's kind of coming down to sponsorship stuff right now. We have some, you know, ready to go for next year, but how much, it just kind of depends on where the sponsorship comes in. We have, you know, a lot of potential right now with some couple of different companies and that, and it's actually going really well. But until we get it lined up, I can't, you know, say anything, because then I'd be, you know, I would just kind of be making it up and just be talking hopeful right now. So I can sound and make it sound really good, but until we get it all finalized, I can't, you know, really say anything yet.
I know. But Jimmy, I want to thank you very much. For being a good friend. Glad to meet you up there at Richmond this past year. Glad to meet your mom and dad, and glad everything. Well, I'm not going to bring that Rick up. But anyway, go out there. if you want to throw out there where everybody can follow you at on social media, Facebook, your website, and all that stuff, you got the floor, bud.
Thank you. And for the Facebook or for the website is jimmyweller.com. And then for the social media stuff, Twitter is Jay Weller Racing. Instagram is Jay Weller Racing. Facebook is Jay Weller Racing. I also have my personal page, but all the racing stuff gets thrown, you know, is on the racing side of it. So we had a girl, Ashley Ong, from A to B Strategies, who developed a lot of this for us last year and really did a great job. So check out the pages. They're pretty cool. She did a lot of good work to kind of get that going for us.
Sounds good. There you go, listeners. Everybody follow Jimmy Weller, the up-and-coming young star in the NASCAR Xfinity Series and probably in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Todd, do you have any last thoughts for Jimmy Weller?
Jimmy, good luck, and I'm going to enjoy keeping up with you, and I definitely send you a private message, bud.
Yeah, make sure, because I'm looking forward to this food now.
And thank you for being a friend.
Yes, sir. No, and I appreciate all you guys do. Just like, you know, what everybody else said, we appreciate this, and you're kind of what keeps our sport going like that. So, you know, even with our teams being on the lower end there, you guys give us a spotlight on a lot of things. So we really appreciate this.
Anytime.
Jimmy, you're welcome very much. Like I said, thanks again for being a good friend. Tell Mom and Dad and everybody we said hello and good luck at Charlotte, and we'll catch you on the flip side, bud. Take care now.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. See you, Jimmy.
See you later. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. That was my good friend, Jimmy Weller. All right, Todd, coming up here, let's go ahead and the New Hampshire Motor Speedway, the Camper World Truck Series is Saturday, all times of Eastern. Let me know at 175 at 1 p.m. MRN has your radio. Fox Sports 1 has your TV. And then Sunday, the Sprint Cup Series, Sylvania 300, second round of the Sprint Cup Series, Chase for the Sprint Cup, 2 p.m. PRN has your radio, NBCSN has your TV, and the Xfinity Series will be in, let me think a minute. I'm going to mess it up. Anyway, they're going to be somewhere else. Anyway, Todd, you got any last thoughts, bud?
No, just want to thank you, Susan, Steven, and everybody for all your hard work and for everything you do for me.
Todd, you're welcome, bud. We want to thank you for being a great supporter and thank you for the hard work you do for the sport we love of NASCAR and for the hard work you do for autism, bud. We appreciate you.
I do what I can, bud.
I know you do. And Todd, thank you again very much for filling in with Stephen Wilson. Had the night off. We're going to sign off live from Dega Nation. You're in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Todd Bigsby. Catch y'all next week.
Was the summer before the real world started, and the deal was we would get to go if we cleaned it up and got it running. That is old Winnebago, and winging a prayer down a 65 by best friend on four ball ties. I can still see Billy smiling when we finally made it to Talladega. Boys raised us. Glass. Now here's the turning up, slowing down, and cars that go real fast. We were laughing and living, drinking and wishing, and thinking that chicken flag was waiting. Sure, we're alive to stay. Talladega. Alabama, sun was breaking.